From Indianapolis and 90.1 WFYI News, I'm Jill Dittmeyer, and this is your WFYI Weekly News Roundup. On Tuesday, a number of social service groups gathered in Indianapolis to advertise their services at the city's only substance abuse detox center for homeless people. The Rubin Engagement Center opened in January. The 30-bed, 24-hour facility is owned and operated by the city and offers anyone experiencing both homelessness and drug or alcohol problems a place to get help. Executive Director Carl Rochelle says while the Rubin Center focuses on withdrawal care, it also works to find the root cause of each individual's problem and then works with service providers to address it.
What we see so far, a lot that have experienced some type of childhood trauma, some type of significant trauma or multiple traumas before their 18th birthday. We see persons that either once had a very strong network of family and friends and now do not, or they never had a strong network before the age of 18 and now they still do not.
Rochelle says they have seen more alcohol addiction than drug abuse so far, and over 65% of the people that they've seen since opening are currently in treatment. Rochelle says a total of 65 agencies in the community are helping to bring people to the Rubin Center. And without it, he says members of the homeless population dealing with substance abuse would likely end up in emergency rooms or in jail, neither of which can provide the specialized support that they need. The city is also teaming up with Gleaners Food Bank to distribute fresh groceries to families in need. IMPD officers in the East District will deliver the care bags.
They're patrolling and they come across an individual in need. They will then be able to distribute that bag of food, which from what I understand should provide a week's worth of nutritious supplements.
Paul Babcock is interim director for the Office of Public Health and Safety. He says the Care Bags pilot project expands the Care Mobile Pantry program that provides fresh groceries once a week to neighborhoods that are food deserts.
The IMPD is usually the first most visible city agency that people see. And so, you know, by providing the food and then the ability to get access to wraparound services from the Office of Public Health and Safety, we're going to be able to really impact positive change on a wider scale.
Last year, 45,000 people received food from a Care Mobile Pantry. Hundreds of faith leaders recently gathered at the Christian Theological Seminary for a day of workshops focused on fighting poverty. WFYI's Drew Dottolin met up with one of the event's speakers to talk about a central theme of the conference, the role of social service programs in people's lives.
Damon Lynch is a pastor from Cincinnati, Ohio, and he thinks there's a fundamental problem with the way most social service agencies approach their work in poor communities. For years, Lynch lived and worked in a Cincinnati neighborhood called Over the Rhine.
For a long time, it was one of the most impoverished communities in the state of Ohio. So God saw fit to put me down there to pastor for 23 years, and I fell in love with the people.
Lynch says the prevailing goal for most service agencies in Over the Rhine was to provide poor residents with things they needed. But he says despite having access to a wide variety of services, like drop-in centers, soup kitchens, and food pantries, its residents remain some of the poorest in the state.
At some point, you wake up and say, obviously servicing people does not make them whole. So we have the most serviced community and yet the poorest community, the most crime-ridden community at the same time.
For Lynch, the answer is what's called asset-based community development. His favorite analogy for explaining it is a half-full cup of water. The water represents everything people have in a poor neighborhood, and the empty part represents what they need. He says social services focus almost entirely on that emptiness, ignoring the potential for real community growth and leaving many people to believe that they're nothing more than their problems. To illustrate the point, Lynch tells the story of a man who showed up in his neighborhood office one day. The man had been stabbed in the arm with a screwdriver, and he wanted pain medicine.
So he comes up to my office, and he slouches down and proceeds to give me the saddest story you ever want to hear. He's from down south somewhere, came to Cincinnati, thought he'd have a better life. Somebody stabbed him trying to rob him. So at some point, I said, tell me what you do and what you do well. And he said, I lay floors. I said, what kind of floors? He said, linoleum, hardwood, tile, you name it, I can lay it. Now, as he says, I lay floors, he starts to sit up straight. And I'm watching this guy grow right in front of me. At the end of the conversation, I sent him back downstairs to my secretary to do whatever it is she does. She called upstairs and said, what did you do? I said, what do you mean, what did I do? She said, he left here crying and said he had forgotten that he was a man.
While stories like this explain how Lynch cemented his belief in asset-based development, what ended up happening to Over the Rhine might explain his passion. Starting in 2011, the neighborhood went through a dramatic transformation. It was gentrified, home now to sushi restaurants, microbreweries, and Belgian waffle cafes. Lynch says the change was seen by many others as a great success.
We didn't eradicate poverty in Cincinnati. We just moved it. And I mean, it's a totally, totally different place, but the poor people are gone.
He's quick to point out that this is not an argument against the existence of social service agencies, just an argument against how they operate. For the glass of water to get full, he says, it needs to be filled from the inside. And Lynch says in many ways the faith community has become just another social service agency, not only making some of the same mistakes, but also neglecting core biblical lessons like this one from the New Testament.
Jesus was preaching one day and there's like 5,000 or more people there. And the disciples say, hey, they're hungry, send them away. He says, we don't send people away. We're going to feed them. Now, he's Jesus. He could have just said, all right, we're going to feed them. Father, I need manna from heaven and quail to fall down because these people don't have anything. So if you would just send some stuff and we'll feed everybody. No, he says, what do we have? And that has to be the question. What do we have?
Lynch is no longer in Over the Rhine. He works now with faith leaders around the country to push for growing communities and the people in them with the assets they already have. For 90.1 WFYI News, I'm Drew Dudlin.
You're listening to WFYI's weekly news roundup. Purdue University will continue to hold tuition costs at 2012 levels through the 2018-2019 academic year. In-state tuition for students will remain close to $10,000, out of state, $29,000, and for international students, $31,000. There will also be no change in room and board cost. President Donald Trump's budget would cut billions of dollars in grant money for low-income college students as it calls for slashing the Pell Grant program by $3.9 billion. Now, that could affect Indiana's community college system. Ivy Tech Community College ranks second in the nation for Pell Grant use at a single college. More than 30,000 Ivy Tech students receive about $57 million for school in the form of a Pell Grant. Indiana's Democratic Senator Joe Donnelly doesn't shy away from criticizing Trump's budget.
Destroying the Pell Grant program is one of the worst ideas you could possibly have. Pell Grant hits right in the sweet spot of working families who are looking to try to figure out, how can I get my kids an education?
The program was founded in 1972. The Trump administration says that reducing funds for Pell Grants will leave the grants on sound footing for the next decade. Heron High School wants to become part of the Indianapolis Public School District. The Midtown School is maxed out at 830 students in grades 9 through 12. A new Heron school called Riverside will open this fall to help meet demand. Principal Janet McNeil is asking IPS to consider making both schools part of the district's innovation network. The agreement, she says, would give IPS middle school students better access to the A-rated Heron.
But we're also interested in looking at programming and how they do what they do exceedingly well in areas, and then how we do really well in some areas. So there could be a cross-pollination of ideas.
Those ideas, she says, could include Heron explaining how it offers A through P courses to all students, or how IPS offers a multitude of special education services. When schools partner with IPS as innovation schools, they get access to district services like transportation and food. In exchange, IPS gets credit for that school's academic scores and enrollment. This Saturday, the Crispus Attucks Tigers will make their first boys' state basketball championship appearance since 1959 in the Class 3A title game. As WFYI's Eric Weddle reports, there's a lot driving their success.
If you were following social media earlier this month during the boys' regional semifinals, you probably saw a lot of videos of Nike Sabandi dunking. There's this one, when he jumps up and just flushes the ball. And this, you see number 22 dribble up half the court before leaping with arms stretched and slamming the ball through the hoop. But Sabandi says if the Tigers are going to win state, it will take them all. They've grown into a team during the season.
Good chemistry and knowing each other on and off the court is helping out a lot, too. Everybody's buying in.
That's senior Alex Cooley.
that it's not just, it's bigger than just one of us, and that to trust the coaches, trust has been a big thing.
Yeah, that's big.
That trust led the Tigers to a 24-4 season. And something else has propelled the team, their history. In 1955, Crispus Attucks became the first all-black school in the nation to win a state title. They won again in 1956 and 1959. Here's Alex again.
To be at a historical school like this where all our state championship teams, they broke a racial barrier in the city. So that's huge, and we just want to be next. We want to be in the same conversation.
The Tigers play the Twin Lakes Indians 6 p.m. Saturday at Bankers Life Fieldhouse. For 90.1 WFYI News, I'm Eric Weddle.
Two other Indianapolis teams are also playing Saturday. The Ben Davis Giants will have their first state playoff since 96 for the Class 4A title against Fort Wayne Northside. And Tindley Academy will make its first state appearance. They face Lafayette Central Catholic in the Class 1A division game.
What do you wonder about Indianapolis?
Why did Pogues Run get buried underground?
Why are there so many potholes?
Who's in charge of synchronizing all the stoplights in town?
With Curious Indy, you can ask questions and help WFYI News decide what we should be reporting on next, and sometimes even be part of finding the answer. So, Curious Indy? Go to wfyi.org/curiousindy to find out more.
This is the Weekly News Roundup from 90.1 WFYI News. 5 years ago, a determined young man came to Indianapolis with a mission to change the lives of young students through the discipline of dance. He created a program called Kids Dance Outreach. It takes place during school hours, so no child gets denied the chance to learn not only dance, but how to cooperate, encourage, and build self-esteem. Every few months, they give a program where several of the classes merge, which creates another chance for kids to learn how to become a team. I spent several hours with them during one of their rehearsals. The energy, the smiles, and the learning is evident.
5, 6, 5, 6, here we go!
The sounds of tennis shoes and tambourines echo through the back room at the Athenaeum as 40 kids of all sizes, shapes, and color practice a series of lively dance routines.
We want to keep kids focused on positive things, things that they're getting a sense of accomplishment and achievement from.
That's KDO founder and instructor Michael Johnson.
I've been in the dance world my entire life and professional with the Boston Ballet for 10 years and then teaching in Boston's outreach programs where I saw all of Boston Public Schools, Boston Independent and Charter Schools. So I'd seen pretty much everything, every aspect of what is involved when it comes to high-quality dance outreach. And I kind of found my way to connect with the children, to motivate them, to inspire them to want to do better for themselves.
In 2012, he moved to Indianapolis to see if what he knew worked there could succeed here.
We have a combination. We do residencies inside of some elementary schools that do have a suitable space. However, many of the schools come to us during school time. They come to us at the Athenaeum building, and we have our class here. And they come to us once a week for 10 weeks, and each week is progressive. So by the end of the 10th week, they're ready for a showcase in which the community and their families and the school community is also invited to come and watch and witness their accomplishments and what they've been learning over the past 10 weeks.
That was excellent.
Ayana is a fifth grader at School 79.
Makes me feel happy.
Her mom, Karina, thought it was an offer too good to pass up.
She's never really had structured dancing practice or instruction, so I thought that would be a good exposure for her.
Johnson says the purpose is to empower kids.
I think that we've found a great balance and a great challenging way for them to understand and learn discipline. So when we present our challenges, we do it in a fun and inspiring way, an energetic and joyful way.
Fourth graders Annie and Jack agree.
I think it's really fun, and I didn't expect it to be this much fun, but then when I started doing it, it was a lot more fun than I expected.
When I come to class, it's
just stay focused and to not goof around so much. And when I get out of class, it's like I had so much fun and I'm so tired, and it was just an awesome class.
His mom, Sarah, sees a big difference, too.
It's just been really great for his confidence and his coordination and just meeting new people, making new friends, and he's really enjoying the performances in the city, getting to go to some great places, and it's been a wonderful opportunity for our family.
Annie's mom, Kelly, says the best part is that KDO welcomes all kids.
And Annie's had dance experience, but some kids haven't. And how great to tap into something that they had no idea that they could do or had an interest in. Or, you know, she says that it relieves her of the math stress, but dance is math, and it's phys ed, and it's language, and it's music, and it's everything in one. I mean, I can see how kids could get lost in this in a great way.
Kids Dance Outreach holds its annual fundraising event on Saturday, April the 15th. It's the Kids Dance Dance Party. It takes place in the Park Tudor Varsity Gym. It goes from 6 to 9 p.m. There'll be raffles, food, music, and plenty of dancing. Information is available at its website, kidsdanceoutreach.org. Well, this week, Indiana Homeland Security conducted its annual statewide tornado drill. John Erickson also says that the agency handed out emergency radios in all 92 of the state's counties.
Tornadoes can occur any time of the year. We had some in August last year, and we've had them a variety of times in the past decades. But it's important to be on your guard at all times and watch the weather, and having an all-hazards radio is one way to do that.
The Carmel City Council discussed a new ordinance this week that would require drivers to use turn signals in roundabouts. Mayor Jim Brainerd says doing so would make the roundabouts safer.
Allow for smoother flow through the roundabouts. Someone waiting to come in sees someone with a turn signal on, indicating they're going out, can go ahead and pull into the roundabout. So it speeds up the flow through the circle.
Any driver that doesn't use the turn signal could face a fine.
Every country in the world that has roundabouts has a similar law, and I think 8 or 9 states do as well. The ones that have built a substantial number of roundabouts. And since Carmel's built more than any other city in the country, regardless of size, you know, we should probably do the same thing.
And residents of Fishers and Noblesville gathered this week to discuss the Nickel Plate Railroad Corridor. The city of Fishers wants to convert the rail tracks to a trail. The Indiana Transportation Museum wants to bring back the train. And Marsh Supermarkets is closing stores at Madison Avenue and Stop 11 Road. That one closes tomorrow. And it will close its Nora store at 1440 East 86th Street on April the 8th. The Marsh Supermarket chain has gone from 120 to 60 stores since the chain, started by the Marsh family, was acquired by Florida-based Sun Capital Partners in 2006. You're listening to 90.1 WFYI's weekly news roundup. Stress is an occupational hazard for healthcare workers. Studies show that hospital employees have higher rates of substance abuse, depression, and suicide than other professions. WFYI's Lee DeNoon reports on how well the wellness training of an entire department in one hospital has had a lasting impact.
Ms. Johnson? My name is Robert. I'll be your medical assistant.
Robert Buford works in the special medicine department at Eskenazi Health Hospital.
All right, you can have a seat for me, and I'll get your blood pressure, your pulse, and your oxygen.
Buford's entire department and nearly 500 other Eskenazi employees have been trained in the last 3 years in a program called self-care. Experts in mindfulness techniques were brought in from the Center for Mind-Body Medicine in Washington, D.C. Buford's boss, Fernal McClure, says it couldn't have come at a better time. He was on the ropes, personally and professionally.
Just learning how to meditate and how to focus on, you know, my body and slowing me down, not letting my thoughts race, that certainly changed my life.
And the nutrition education made him stop and think about his bad food choices.
I put on some weight and I've dropped 40 pounds in the past year just being mindful of what I was eating, eating differently. Cholesterol's better. blood pressure's better. You know, I'm off medications now because I've changed how I eat and how I think about eating and my relationship to food.
A big part of self-care is to check in on how you're feeling when you're stressed or anxious and make more conscious decisions. Adora Bryce is the team leader over patient care in the special medicine unit. She incorporates a quick, deep breathing exercise called soft belly into her day.
Soft belly is all about breathing. It's about not letting yourself stress up, because when you stress, you tend to contract. Everything tends to become tense. Having a soft belly means not holding it in, not stressing, and not becoming rigid.
Bryce says she shared self-care techniques with her family.
I take this straight home and I say to my mate, look, calm yourself, relax, and let this out. Just let it out. Just let it out your fingertips, let it out your toes, and relax your belly, whatever you do. And he takes it to his job because he's a co-owner of a company himself. And he's like, look, you got to take care of yourself.
The sound of a singing Tibetan brass bowl is not what you associate with a hospital, but it is the refocusing and stress-reducing tool for Buford. He escapes into a small office away from the hubbub and guides a smooth piece of wood along the top edge of the bowl to make it ring.
First, it clears your mind and makes you focus. Actually trying to get the sound out, it makes you focus on one thing and one thing only. So if you do this in a nice, quiet room and you just kind of gently rub it across the rim.
How often do you do this?
I love to do it every day, because it just helps me clear my brain. And then I get back to my job. So your blood pressure looks like it's a little high, 155 over 103. So if you don't mind, I'll check your blood pressure one more time. Sit your hand right here for me. Relax a little bit. Think about some happy thoughts so you get the blood pressure down. Here we go. And that worked. Look, 133 over 88. Good deal.
Self-care translates to better patient care. Adora Bryce.
It's very important. I mean, if you're not taking care of yourself, how effective are you with taking care of others? And we're here. This is what we do. We're here to take care of others.
For 90.1 WFYI News, I'm Lee Danoon. You've been listening to the WFYI Weekly News Roundup. You can get the latest news online at any time at our website, WFYI.org. Stay tuned for Indiana Lawmakers with John Schwannis. I'll be back with more news this afternoon during All Things Considered from 4 to 7 p.m. I'm Jill Dittmeyer.